There's been a little bit of discussion about different rupas, and we know that each kalapa of rupas is conditioned by, if it's outside the body, by temperature, and inside by one of the four conditions. So if sound is arising in with a kalapa, for example, the kalapa is either conditioned by citta or by temperature. And we can say that that sound, the quality of the sound in the kalapa, is conditioned by the temperature. And it's also conditioned by the other primary rupas in the kalapa, which condition that sound. And the question someone asked is, what is the point of saying that? Because the kalapa as a whole is conditioned by temperature. So is there any point in mentioning that the primary rupas condition the sound as well, because those primary rupas are conditioned by temperature too?
To understand that there is no I.
To understand there's no I, and to understand the different conditioning factors, I think.
The point is understanding the truth that actually there's no I, no one, no thing.
And the reason is like learning more about the details in a process, or learning the details about how chetasikas condition each other. It's all to understand about dharmas of anatta. So if one doesn't hear more detail and consider about different conditioning factors, it's not enough to understand.
Otherwise, how can the right understanding, which is so powerful that it can eradicate wrong understanding?
Sarah, I'm sorry, can you repeat your last question?
The question was really about, for example, sound. Sound arises in a kalapa, and that kalapa is conditioned by temperature. If it's outside the body or inside the body, it can be conditioned by citta. So each of those rupas in that kalapa is conditioned by the citta or the temperature, like the sound now is conditioned by citta. So it's affected by the kind of citta. If one's angry, it's a different sound. If one's kind, it's a different sound. But the sound is also conditioned by the other rupas arising together with it, especially the primary rupas, which will affect the intensity of the sound. But those other rupas are also conditioned by that same citta or that same temperature. So the question is whether there's any point in mentioning the conditioning factor of the other rupas when they all come back to the same conditioning factor. And Ajahn's answer was, learning a more details,
yes,
understanding more points helps,
right,
the understanding of as anatta.
So when you hear the word or the sound, it's conditioned by what?
When I hear sound,
Kunsera's voice,
heat. And the sound I hear is conditioned by heat, not my citta. The sound that Sarah makes is temperature. That's
Say it again, please.
The sound that I hear, it's me hearing, hears
your own.
No, not my own.
Even your own.
Citta and temperature. The sound I make. Pardon?
Ajahn, you said even your
own. I know.
Yes.
But the sound I make, though, I utter, is conditioned by both temperature and citta.
What is conditioned by your citta is the rupa conditioned by citta.
That's right.
But after that, since it arises and falls away so very fast, you cannot hear the sound which is conditioned by citta.
So, when you hear your voice, John, I think you're saying you're hearing some condition by Uttu, even though the voice, the original sound when it's made is conditioned by citta.
Okay.
By the time you hear
it's gone, the citta,
So it's clear that the sound heard that we call Ajahn's voice, that sound heard is conditioned by temperature, and it's just the same when one sound hears the sound of one's own voice, it's also conditioned by temperature.
But what is heard must be the first group conditioned by citta. Mm-hmm. But after that, when the other person hears.
Uttu.
But so fast. Otherwise, nothing's heard.
Right. So, Sarah, you were saying that initially the sound is conditioned by citta. By the time it even comes, sound becomes, the sound comes
but
out,
can
conditioned
that be,
by uttu.
Can that be heard? The first which is conditioned by citta. Why not?
At that moment, it could be heard.
Yeah. But later.
Later, no.
Mm-hmm. So
just a minute. I'm not sure I've got that.
Conditioned by citta, that sound heard. But afterwards, it's by temperature.
I heard that before, but how that happens, I really don't know. That later on, it's conditioned by temperature. Mm. I heard it before. Don't know much about it.
How short is it, Rupa?
How long does it, Rupa, last?
70 moments of citta. Very short.
How many moments?
Only 17 citta moments.
So what is heard after that person conditioned sound?
I don't know how that happens, really. I don't know much about it.
When whatever is experienced by Panya as clear as Vipassana, is it not the nimitta?
The nimitta, yeah.
How many realities there in a nimitta?
Sankara nimitta, you mean? Sankara nimitta.
No. Rupa nimitta.
Rupa nimitta.
Vedana nimitta.
Yeah.
Sanya
nimitta. That is
Sankara nimitta
of all.
Sankara nimitta.
Yeah.
And Vijnana nimitta.
Yeah. Yeah.
It means that only one cannot be experienced.
One unit can never be experienced because there arises.
That's why we live with ignorance from life to life.
Yeah.
Without the teachings, it's impossible to have the idea of no self.
I find it difficult to understand that it is then conditioned by temperature afterwards.
Mm. But yeah. Not to understand only, to know the nature of it as not self.
Yeah.
Because just hearing, it is the pariyati. But not the understanding of any reality at all.
That's right, yeah.
From Tanatan is conditioned by citta, and the sound that I heard is conditioned by uttu.
Because I didn't sweep at that moment you heard.
Because when you hear it, it's not the same moment as she's speaking. It's not.
Many, many nimitta of the rupa, the sound, you see. Mm-hmm. And then when I heard that nimitta of the sound, is
the temperature
is conditioned by
condition.
Uttu.
Yes.
So, okay, thank you.
There has to be a time lapse.
Time lapse, yes.
Like an echo factor, it's not the same moment. Not the same rupa.
But how do I know it's by uttu? That I know. That I know either by citta or by uttu. So if not by citta, it must be. Yeah, I see now. Yeah.
The uttu that arose in that kalapa with sound conditioned by citta conditioned the sound to appear that is heard.
Conditions.
Well,
it's the condition. Yeah.
So one can see that before sammasati can arise, it takes how long to have no, to have the idea of no self, the right understanding.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why Buddha taught for 45 years.
Takes a long, long time.
Even right now, who knows that the little panya which is Sankara Khanda, which Adha Chetasika develops a little bit.
And when we say that actually if it's not when hearing the when speaking, if it's not the first rupa conditioned by citta, it's not conditioned by citta, but actually what is heard is the nimitta of sound. So when we say it's the nimitta of sound, we say it's conditioned by temperature, but actually each one is conditioned by temperature.
And
so
it depends on citta, which condition the voice. Mm-hmm. See, the first. So what is heard is the nimitta.
I'm having a little difficulty formulating this question, but the sound our voices make when we're speaking is conditioned by citta, many citta. And once that, but which is different from the sound that you hear,
right,
when I'm speaking with you, which is conditioned by utu. But this,
so what appears in this room?
What appears? If one, sound conditioned by utu.
I don't ask about what condition.
What appears? The nimitta of sound.
The nimitta, all nimitta.
Yes.
So we live in the world of nimitta, unknown.
The nimitta of sound, which is not.
The sound conditioned by citta.
Right.
But there must be the first condition, yes, by citta.
Yes, I understand that. Yeah, the nimitta of sound conditioned by utu. What is heard.
So, this is the way to better understand anatta, you explained.
Right. Otherwise we think about other things.
But I'm wondering why this point will help so much to see anatta, maybe
without understanding this, what can eliminate the idea of self? That what appears is only the nimitta.
Yeah. So it falls away so fast.
No one at all. But you take all nimittas for me or mine. But actually it's the nimitta of the arising and falling away of different realities.
So, yes, we fail to see the arising and falling away of realities.
You or what?
the citta.
Panya.
Yeah. Fail to see, cannot see.
Because no panya.
Lack of panya. Yeah. And that makes us think of the self or something lasting.
So, this is the reason why we
study and consider more about the different dharmas that make up life now, and just to hear now that there's just seeing and visible object and hearing and sound, it's not enough to eradicate that very strong tendency of self.
Yeah.
But by beginning to understand more about the conditioned nature of different dharmas and the nimitta of different dharmas that are appearing in life now, is the way to gradually wear away that idea of self, that of something that is arising or belonging to someone or someone's voice or the sound
someone's
spoken.
Yeah.
That it's just a dharma that arises and falls away, conditioned in different ways, that's all.
Yeah, that helps a lot, yeah.
This morning, Ajahn, we were talking about the anusyas and the asavas, and last Saturday we were also talking about the nivaranas, the different hindrances, which are the defilements, the kalesa that can be known, and they can still be strong or weak, gross or very subtle, but they are the defilements that can be known, unlike the asavas that cannot be known. And we mentioned about, for example, in the case of the anagami, where there's no more attachment to sense object, and the kalesa are so very, very refined and subtle, but they can still be known, so they can still be referred to as Nivarana, even though they're so subtle, the defilements. Is that correct?
Is there any truth now of what appears?
Not yet.
That's why Pariyati and Patipati and Pativeda.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, if we're talking about attachment now, attachment to a sense object, this is...
In details.
If we're talking about the very subtle one, the asava, it's not known, the one that arises after. But if it's the one that is common now when we take our drink or look around, it is the attachment, the Nivarana Kamaraga, that moment that can be known. And we know, for example, in the case of the Anagami, there's no more Kamaraga, no attachment to sense objects, and there's no more Vichikicca, no more doubt, and no more Kukucha, no more worry, and only no more Tina and Mida with dosa or with ditti, so only with some very refined lobha. But we can still refer to these Nivarana in the case of the Anagami,
yes,
the ones that can
be known.
That can be known. So the meaning of Nivarana is just that can be known.
Hindrance. So it hinders in some way.
Kinders. Kusala.
Understanding.
To arise.
Hinders kusala.
Any kind.
Yeah. Kusala and understanding maybe. No?
All kind of kusala.
Hinders any kusala.
And any kusala.
Because when there is any akusala, when there's any Nivarana, then no kusala at that moment. And when it mentions in this context of Kama Raga, for the Anagami, that there's no attachment to sense object, does this include Bhava Tanha too?
Bhava Tanha must be by Arhata.
Only. Yes, but the term Nivarana, can that include
anything?
Anything.
Which hindered the Panya and
so
kusala.
Any akusala, so bhava tanha is also
because
included there.
It's there for panya to understand it.
Because a bit like when talking about the upadanas, kama upadana actually includes bhava tanha, so same.
Is there any upadana now?
For sure.
Is it known?
Yes. Can be known, but isn't known.
Panya knows.
Yes.
Yesterday we talked about the
five hindrances. Exactly, yes. Yes, and Udaccha, Kukucha, and Vichikicca, yes.
Kukulrit question is that Anakami still has akusala citta.
Yes.
And then all akusala citta must be
Nivarana.
Nivarana. Yeah.
So, of course, no Vichikicca, no Kukucha, no Biapada, and some kinds of Tinamida, not the one with dosa and the one with wrong view, and no attachment to sense objects. Yeah. Yes.
But very often they are mentioned in the case of Samatha, and that's why we get misunderstandings. Well, the opposite of the Nivarana are these factors for jhana. And then we get mixed up maybe, because in that context very often it's mentioned the Nivarana, the hindrances.
And for Vipassana, it includes Samatha as well.
Mm. Ajahn, there's a question here that I know it's coming up. Anagami, I believe they do not have Tinamidta. Anagami do not, at the level, because we know that Tinamidta arises with Sasankarika, Lopa, and Dosa. Obviously, they haven't got any Dosa, so it won't arise with the Dosa Mulachitta Tinamidta. And I don't believe that it arises also with Lopa anymore. Is that correct, Ajahn, for Anagami?
Does Anagami have Lopa?
Yes, certainly. But do they have, not for sense objects, but there is still Kamaraga there. However, what I'm
Anagami?
Not for anagami. Sorry, if I confuse it, so I said something. So anagami will not have kamaraga, but they certainly have, there will be lopa there, not a level of sensual. There's still, let's look at anagami. You've got aherika, anotapa, udacha, and awicha. That is all that that anagami has left. They've got, there are just those four chetasikas that can arise.
So, anagami?
Yes.
Any moment it's akusla, there must be the four.
Yes. Yes. But what I'm wanting to get clarity on there, because it was brought up last week, does anagami have tina midha?
Who doesn't have?
Tina midha, anagami, do they have tina midha? Does it arise for them anymore? At any level, whether lopa or dosa?
Tina mita arises with lopa,
yes,
or not?
Yes, it does, or it can arise with lopa. Sasankarika.
So, some moment, lopa without... some lopa is sasankarika.
Yes.
Some lopa is not.
True.
So what can condition the tina midha?
I'm not sure about that, but I'm wanting to know, does anagami have that level of tina midha in more?
So we have to understand what akusala cetasika is eradicated by what level of panya.
That's right. And my understanding is that there is no more tina midha for anagami at this point.
Sankarika loba still not eradicated, why not tina and midha with that sasankarika loba?
Well, because it cannot arise, it does not always arise with sasankarika.
Not always, but can.
It can.
Can, yes, I know that. So you're saying it can arise?
Not me.
Sorry?
I cannot say anything. I have to follow the teaching.
Yes, okay. I was just curious about what you were thinking, because my understanding is that there's just those four chetasikas that are left for anagami.
Because not... what do you mean by tina and midha?
Well, it's translated into English as being, you know, sloth and torpor, which I don't think is a very helpful translation, but means lazy, essentially, kind of laziness.
So as long as there is akusala, can it be lazy? Or can
of course. Yes, it could be. Of course, it could be.
Weak to have sasankarika, weak to have kusala at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you think, or have you read, that no tina or midha could arise then?
Well, I was thinking because there's only those four, isn't there only those four chetasikas that are left?
Which four chetasikas left?
Avicca, aherika, anotapa, and udacca.
What about mana?
Yes.
Loba.
Yeah, actually, you're right. There is mana also, and.
What was the second one you said?
Avicca, of course. Anotapa. Harika and Anotapa.
Harika.
Yeah, Harika, Anotapa. They almost always be there. And Udacca. So, okay.
Loba, mana.
Lopa and mana is all. Yes, of course, they must also be there. But I can't remember tina midha being there. Anyway, it's not so important.
Because we do not yet understand different aspects of tina and midha.
Pundit said, anagami still has the uttaccha, because uttaccha is one of the five hindrance, and the anagami still has akusala citta. And you said it's subtle kilesa, it's not hindrance.
Well, this is why I was clarifying, because I had understood that nivarana just refers to the, like, if we give an example now, it's the kilesa that can be known, can be understood. The subtle one that can't be known are the asavas. So the nivarana, for example, the attachment now, or anger, if one is disturbed now, that is the nivarana, because it can be known. And I had thought from that, because we talked about how it's the gross one that can be known, that therefore the term couldn't be used by the, to refer to the anagami, but still has... We discussed udaccha arises with every akusala
chitta.
Yeah,
So, but also have many degrees of...
Many degrees. Yeah, and even though it's so subtle at that moment, it can be understood by, not by...
Not by
our
me.
Panya, but by that panya of the anagami. So at that time it is nivarana because it can be known.
Like when I open my eyes, I attach to the flower.
Instantly.
So
that is
it's akusala chitta, yeah, and also utaccha arises together with that attachment, but not we, not the utaccha, that's one of the five hindrances.
Yes, yeah. But maybe it's not known, who know at that moment, maybe attachment is known, but not udaccha.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ajahn said the term nivarana refers to the kalesa that can be known.
And the self would like very much to understand that which cannot be understood by such level of understanding, only the pariyatti. And is it possible?
So we need to correct tomorrow that nivaranas, even in the case of the anagamis or the kilesa, even though so refined, still are classified as nivarana.
So that means anagami still has hindrance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Udaccha, yes, but
yeah,
not kukucha,
I mean.
Yeah. And not viapada, and not vichikicca. And Sundara's question is whether there is still tinamida. And I understand that when it is the sasankarika loba, the weak loba, then it can arise at that moment.
It all came up in the context of adhicitta, didn't it? The question was, why can it be said that the anagami has perfected samatha when the hindrances still arise?
At what level? At level of anagami, only.
And what we said in the discussion was because at that level, no more attachment to sense objects, so the concentration is very refined, very purified by that degree of understanding. So this is what it's referring to, just like in the case of the Sotamatpanna, when they refer to adi sila, it doesn't mean there's no akusala sila, but it has been refined to that degree by panya that the sila will never be strong enough to commit those deeds leading to woeful planes, for example. So I think this is what we said. Tambak from Vietnam sent some questions that the group were discussing about Mara, and we talked about how there are different kinds of Mara depending on the context, referring to akusala, referring to death, referring to the khandas, referring to the evil deity, referring to Sankara.
Matjumara.
Matjumara, the deity. Yeah. So anyway, would you like to?
Okay, this is about where it talks about Mara taking possession of someone. She says in a few suttas there's mention of Mara taking possession of another. For example, then Mara the wicked took possession of the gold and recited this verse in the Buddha's presence.
So, what does it mean by
that? That's her question.
Mara.
What's it referring to when it says Mara takes possession of
the Buddha? Is it kusala or akusala?
Akusala.
Have to be akusala.
That's why we call it Mara.
So we mentioned that it's referring to akusala chittas at that moment, but then she had another point.
And the commentary on one of the suttas says, Mara thought, he has spoken dispraise of the other teachers. I will make him speak praise of them through his own mouth.
And what is the intention of Mara?
Well, that's why she asked the question. Another commentary says, when Mara discovered that the Buddha has gone to the Brahman world, he became anxious that the Brahmins might be won over in Brahman and escape from his control. Thus he went there to discourage the Buddha from teaching.
Are you afraid of Mara? As long as there is the idea of self, there is Mara, one of many kinds.
Her question is, how are we to read this reference of, I will make him speak praise of them through his own mouth?
Is that Mara?
Your voice.
What about someone who say, do good deeds? Is that Mara?
Unlikely.
Right or wrong?
Right.
Do good deeds.
Does that depend on the
conditions?
I think it's right to do good, to avoid evil, to do good, to develop understanding. Three
important points.
Is it good?
Of course.
If someone would say, do good deeds.
It depends on the intention.
See?
Because they may think of a self doing good deeds.
See?
And that's wrong.
See?
The wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the understanding.
Yeah.
Like many teachers, do not speak about the teachings, but tell anyone to do.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Have sati. Focus on
yeah.
Right now.
Or make it, or do it.
Do good deeds now, be
aware now.
Yeah, that's the same, yeah.
Yeah, so we cannot say that do good deeds is always right or
without
helpful.
Without any understanding, I think what is good deeds?
I think most people misunderstand do good deeds. They think it means I or you or someone should do good deeds.
It's like reading the Tipitaka without understanding. That's where you get the idea.
So I think all these examples that she's referring to are just referring to akusala jitas. That's really all we can
the intention say. Is mara.
Mm-hmm.
When it's akusala intention.
In the Tipitaka, the good deeds that the Buddha says, it's right, but it's misunderstood. When we read in the Tipitaka about do good deeds, it's different.
Well, when we read about it, we may read with understanding or with wrong understanding. We may read it and think that it means that I, Nina or Sarah, should be good or should help people or should be kind now. Yes. So often when we read it, it's not with...
Buddha says it, when the Buddha says it.
Yes, but when we read it, it's with our own intention, our own understanding, not the Buddha's.
Yes.
So if we read it, we can't say it's with any kusala. Depends on the understanding at that moment.
Yeah.
And when we read about Mara Devaputa, the deity, is that not just referring to akusala as well?
The deity Mara is intention.
Akusala, intention, I think. So it's the same as akusala then in that case.
He's a real being though. He lives in the highest deva loka, or he was meant to be the deity, the Raja of Paranamita Asavati, the highest deva loka. So he is a real person, rather mischievous, as we've heard. This is my understanding. And he, in some of the things he says, of course, that cannot be true. He cannot make the Buddha speak what he wants. The Buddha would just, I guess, ignore. Well, yes, it seems that may be possible, like in that example you've given there, that it may be possible for him to do that. But certainly not the Buddha. He couldn't do that. There are those five types, but he is a real person, or was a real person. We don't know where he is
with
now.
With ill intention.
Sorry, Ajahn?
With ill intention.
Yes, with malevolence. We say he has not got... he tried to discourage people. His realm was very much threatened by the Buddha and what he stood for. Mm.
What about... You worked very hard for a long time. It's time to rest. Mean, die.
Yes. He said to him, enough, Mara. I'll go when I'm ready. He said to him, I'll go when I'm ready. And
so it depends on understanding the truth of reality rather than the aspects that never be the same at all. Just only one in lifetime in samsara.
Just on that previous point, though, Ajahn, do you think that it's possible, you know, that when you talk about, Jonathan gave that example of he took possession of somebody else and he spoke on that person's, in that person's body. Does that seem possible to you?
What?
Well, in that example given there by Jonathan there, Mara Devaputta took possession of somebody else, not the Buddha, because that would be impossible.
I think that it depends on citta.
Mm.
When it is a kusla, it can speak like in many ways. Okay. Like Kunsara can be Mara anytime. She has ill eye.
Whenever we have a kusla.
Yeah.
Any moment.
So no doubt about that angel, the Vasavati, just like this plane, citta, cetasika, and rupa.
So really no personal being, reality. What, so when we take
Mara takes possession, it's sounds like strong arising of strong akusala. Right? There's no one to take possession
not
of anybody
thinking.
Else.
At moment of thinking, it's not like moment of speaking. Different aspect, different level all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And only once in samsara, that which has gone cannot arise again. Each moment passed.
Yes. I'm not saying this will.
It's helpful to notice, you know, when someone is unpleasant behavior or something, we don't take it personally. It's just a moment. Very helpful.
It's time again for...
And actually, no one can take possession of another one. No, because it's one. It comes. It's always one's own akusala jitas.
Yes.
That's all it is. So it's actually, it's just a way of describing. Actually, it all comes back to one's own akusala jitas at this moment.